Light in this present darkness. This is Abounding Grace. Stumbling about in the darkness? Join us now for a time of light in the Word with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Grateful you've tuned in today to this Thursday session of Abounding Grace Radio. And we are concluding today our study in James chapter 5, which has been a beautiful study in calling the Christian, the saint, to be waiting for the coming day of the Lord. It's a call to patience. And you'll remember the context here. It's a call to patience with the great allure and attraction of being sucked into this world and its values and thinking that this life is just about making money, existing for maximizing pleasure, hedonism, all these kind of things. James is calling us to realize that we are here for a short time. Our lives are but a mist that appears for a while and then it vanishes away. And the perspective that we should have is that if the Lord wills, we shall live or do this or that. Lord, we live under your sovereign, gracious reign. You have determined the days of our life. You have numbered the hairs of our head. We can do nothing apart from you. And so this day, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's the way we begin our days. That's the way we seek the face of the Lord. Well, James is putting all this against the backdrop of worldliness and people who are living for the world. And so he, in the first part of chapter 5, leveled covenant curses on those in the world who are living to oppress people, who are stealing from people, who are not paying fair wages. He's describing a society full of injustice, and he's telling them God is ready to judge. It's coming. In this context, James turns around, he looks at the saints, and he says, you be patient. We've studied this week. You be patient until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. And then he gave a practical application to patience, saying, don't grumble against one another. Grumbling, literally moaning against your brethren, is the worst way. It is the greatest way to take your eyes off of Jesus. Remember the sacrificial mindset that Christ laid down his life, and the way to patiently wait positively is to love one another, serve one another. So this is where we leave off. And today he's giving some examples now of patience. The Lord is coming soon to judge. And here the Lord is describing for us through this prophet how we can be ready, how we can be waiting. Isn't this a great applicational sermon and message today on the radio to think about? We don't have strength in and of ourselves to wait. But the Lord wants all of the believer to know that he is willing and ready to give grace to help us in time of need. That's Hebrews. I believe what he does at this point is raise two examples to encourage us. The first comes in verse 10 of James 5. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. Do you know being a prophet, a person who spoke the truth in Israel, was the most blessed calling you could be given? They got to speak the word of God. Remember Isaiah in chapter 6 said to the Lord, here I am, send me, I'll go do it, Lord. Remember what the Lord said to Isaiah? Go tell this people. But they will not listen to you. Hearing, they will not hear, and seeing, they will not see. A spirit of stupor, blindness has come over them. Can you imagine telling a pastor today, go preach the truth, go preach the unadulterated word of God, speak the truth, but seeing, no one will see. Hearing, they will not hear. In other words, go tell them, but no one will listen to you. That pastor would be, especially according to Linden standards, the greatest failure. Yet, he was blessed. He endured. As the history goes, the prophet Isaiah endured all the way to his own execution, the manner of which happened as he was sawn in two. The prophet who also stands out to me in this context is the prophet Jeremiah. He was known as the weeping prophet. He had been beaten and thrown into prison. He would speak the truth and the church would reject it. He had almost given up. He had almost come to that point of completely giving up. Remember what he said to the Lord? I think it's chapter 20 of Jeremiah. Oh Lord, you have deceived me and I was deceived. You are stronger than I and you have prevailed. I have become a laughingstock all the day. Everyone mocks me. For whenever I speak out, I cry out, I shout violence and destruction. For the word of the Lord has become for me a reproach and a derision all day long. If I say, I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, there is in my heart, as it were, a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary of holding it in, and I cannot. For I hear many whispering, terror is on every side. Denounce him, let us denounce him, say all my close friends, watching for my fall. They want Jeremiah to fall. Perhaps he will be deceived, then we can overcome him and take our revenge on him. Take them, says James. Take Jeremiah. Take Isaiah. Take Ezekiel as examples of suffering and patience. I think of Hebrews. You've not yet resisted to bloodshed in striving against sin. You have people who've gone before you who are under pressure that we could never imagine. And the Lord is saying he gave them the grace to endure. And we're going to face many hardships in patiently waiting for the Lord. But the Lord is reminding us here not to lose heart, to pray fervently and earnestly, and remember that the Lord has an end intended by it all. Just the fact that there is an end to it all is supposed to be the greatest encouragement to us. And so what he does at this point is he gives us the greatest of examples to remind us of what perseverance looks like. Perseverance until the coming of the Lord. Here's what James says. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. What a statement. Do you know the story of Job? In one day, he lost family, riches, friends, his children, his money, his cattle, everything that he had. And then the last great thing was taken from him. It was his health. He was so disgusting that he was picking off the scabs off of his head from the boils. Job is a prime example of suffering in the Old Testament. And what is the truth about Job that stands out? Know what it is if you read that book? He endured. What was Satan's question regarding Job? Does Job fear God for no reason? Have you not put a hedge around him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands and all his possessions have increased in the land, but stretch out your hand and touch all that he has and he will curse you to his face. In other words, he is following you because you've done so much for him, Lord. What a struggle the book of Job is. But through it all, what's the truth? Well, remember his confession? I know that my Redeemer lives and that one day he will stand upon the earth. He still kept on believing through it all. And James is telling us, dear listener, to consider the end of the Lord. At first, Job seemed to be afflicted beyond what he was able to bear. It seemed that he was alone. It seemed that Satan was having his way of total ruin with Job, that God had forsaken him. If all this had happened to us, if we had lost everything, if we saw a man lost in one day, his house, his family, his children, all of his livelihood and his health. Who would not think that such a person God abandoned or that God cursed? But what was the truth? God loved him. It all had an end. And the end showed what? That Christ is really compassionate and merciful. He always declared this, you know. This whole section is a deep reminder of exactly the point that James is raising in chapter 1. You say, why does God afflict us? What did he say right out of the gates in James 1? My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. This is an amazing statement. The purpose of these sufferings is that God is training us. God is testing us, that we may be perfect and complete. The hardships of this life are bringing about completeness to prepare us for the glories that are soon to come. That's what all this is describing to us. You know, I don't know what you'll be exposed to this year. You know, if things continue to go as they are on the world scene, you're going to see some things you never thought you would see. Economies are reeling. Economies are falling. Governments are ready to fall. Look at all the dictators that have fallen. I don't know what's coming. I don't know what's being set up. We're going to see stuff. But I want you to remember what the Lord is saying here. Be patient. It all has an end. Aren't you glad he said that? Aren't you glad this world's not forever? Aren't you glad that you don't have to endure this forever? Wait for the Lord. He has predetermined how it's going to go. He's in charge, and he's numbered the very hairs of your head. And remember, through the hardships, through the trials, the most beautiful truth rings out here. The Lord, through it all, is very compassionate and merciful. If he feeds the birds of the air, he's going to take care of us. Let us have faith. He is not afflicting us with no end in mind. He's afflicting us with the goal that we would grow in maturity and completeness, that we would have the righteous life that God desires of us. I love that it says here that he's not only compassionate, but that he's merciful. He does not give us as our sins deserve, but that he will remember his covenant and the work of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, on our behalf. That's only for the Christian, though. And the Christian is called today to establish his heart. The coming of the Lord is so close. It's at hand. And whatever he has for us, be patient. He will not fail to give us all that he has promised. You know, I sit and listen to dying people. I did this last week, somebody dying. And you know what their message there was on their deathbed? The Lord is faithful. His faithfulness is everlasting. He will never leave us nor forsake us. If you're listening out there, do you know that kind of comfort? Are you waiting for the Lord? Are you lost? What a tragedy it would be in this little life, little mist that appears for a while, which is your life, that's here today and gone tomorrow, that you would miss the very one whom you are called to seek and to find. Come to the Lord Jesus. He gives you life. He protects you, surrounds you with peace. He'll save you from your sin, and he'll give you grace and strength to go forward, to be received into eternal life. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. As always, we do give you an invite to join us for worship 10 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. on the Lord's Days. LindenURC.com is the website. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of the glorious riches of Christ continue to richly bless you.